Welcome, everyone, to the Meaningful Hearts podcast, where we discuss the everyday questions that make us or break us if we let them. With your hosts, Drew and Daniela, take our hands and let's walk this journey together.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Meaningful Hearts podcast with your favorite host, Drew and Daniela. Today's topic is an uncomfortable conversation about finances. I know I was definitely never taught about finances growing up, neither in school or by my parents. And I didn't start to learn about these things as an adult. Quite honestly, I didn't start to learn about a lot of things until Drew and I got together. So we thought it would be a good conversation to have just to get our feet wet, or your feet wet.
Feet wet about debt.
Drew is so good with that. I am not. He's so good with randomly rhyming.
I may not know about finances, but I know about rhymes, yo. So yeah, on this episode, we were going to talk a little bit. We're not going to dive heavily into the deep end, but we're really just going to kind of brush up on credit cards and what they mean to us, right? We've all, I guess, in a sense, had the talk or have heard of credit cards, and we've heard really good things or horror stories. I know that I had mixed emotions about them and definitely was not raised with the proper etiquette on how to use them or, you know, and such. But today we're going to talk about it. So Daniela's got some questions to pose, I heard. She's got some good ones, some spicy ones.
Yeah. But my questions are, I'm going to leave them towards the end
okay.
for people to ponder about when starting to think about finances and credit cards. So I think it would be helpful to first talk about maybe what we learned about credit cards and how people can relate to. I know for me, what I heard at home was, oh, you get a credit card, you buy an item, and then you pay the balance off with time.
Yep.
And it wasn't until Drew and I actually got together that I learned that that is actually one of the worst pieces of financial advice that somebody can give you. And Drew, since you're a little bit more knowledgeable about this stuff, I'm going to let you take the lead and teach our listeners how you learned about credit cards and why it's important to not fall into that trap of buying something and paying it off over time.
It's funny. I snapshotted that one myth actually to talk about. The myth: I must carry a credit balance if I want to build my credit history. And it's a fact that says many young people who are using credit cards as a tool to establish their credit history think that they have to carry an unpaid balance on their credit card to do so. But this isn't the case. It's usually better to pay off your balance in full each month, since the lower your debt to credit ratio is, the more that your credit will increase, your credit score itself. So that's exactly the one that was relevant to what we would be talking about today. Mm-hmm. Something that I was told very early on, because when I was like 18 or 19, I was told, well, at first I was like, damn, I'm just... every pay period I'm broke because, or every other pay period, whatever, I'm broke because I'd buy something on my credit card and I would just get the money and just lump sum pay it off. And it was exhausting, but I was actually teaching myself something unbeknownst to me. I was teaching myself, well, if you can't afford the item, then you shouldn't, in a, you know, taking all that money to pay off, then you should rethink what you're buying, right? So I kind of spoke to my mom about it, and she's like, you don't have to pay off the whole balance at once.
No, you
could pay a little bit now and then pay a little bit later and so on and so forth. And I'm like, wow, that works. That's amazing. This changes everything. The whole game changed for me. So I'm like, wow, now I have an extension on my credit. I have an extension on my paycheck. I have my cash and then I have my credit. So let's just say that my relationship with credit didn't start off very healthy.
Well, it sounds like it did start off healthy without you actually knowing. And then when you asked for feedback, it became unhealthy, which, you know, not to bash on our parents. It's just their own lack of knowing. You know, it's one of those things where we weren't taught in school. And we weren't taught in school, so it was supposed to be up to our parents, but because our parents weren't taught by their parents, they didn't know any better. I know for me, my mom, you know, she had no credit. She had no idea how to manage credit.
Yeah. It was, my original idea was the right one, but it was tough. Mm-hmm. And my mom gave me a better option, which she used, or my father utilized, which put them in trouble. And I guess they thought that was a way of managing things. Mm-hmm. And for most people, their understanding of credit is the same. Well, I could pay something over time, and I can manage things that way. And that is the worst thing. That is the worst way to do anything financially. Credit cards, from what I've learned, a good friend of mine, Tarun, my unofficial financial advisor, the person who kind of put me onto all these other financial guys like Dave Ramsey, told me, you know, like, you should pay off your balance in full. You should never hold a balance on your credit cards. Now, with loans and other things of that sort, those credit lines don't look the same as a credit card balance does. So mm-hmm. let's not get all crazy now. You might have a mortgage or whatever, but it's not assessed the same way as a line of credit on a credit card does. So yes, unfortunately, you do have to carry a balance, I'm sure, on your mortgage and things like that. And you could leverage that and keep your cash. Yeah. But when it comes to a line of credit, like a credit card, you want to pay it off immediately. And that helps show that you have a healthy relationship with credit. For me, I didn't know that for a very long time, or at the point that I did or know that or understand it, I was so deep in debt with my credit cards, because once you do good on one credit card, another credit card company starts calling and they start increasing your lines of credit. So you say, hey, I could just float more money and just hold on to my cash. But my intentions really weren't ever to come around to a rainy day to pay that balance off, because the balances kept, you know, climbing and climbing and climbing. Mm-hmm. Until eventually I went bankrupt. And that was a really hard lesson to learn, because even though I had high balances, I always paid my credit on time. But it became so overwhelming that I had to work extra jobs and I didn't really have a life, and I was suffocating by my debt ceiling and all the debt that I had. So with that being said, I kind of went back to the drawing board with my credit later on in life and realized that I had only cash at that point because I didn't have any more credit. I had to learn how to float my cash and make it work, so that by the time credit became an option again, I knew that I would only buy what I could afford and use it as my cash for the month. And then I would settle up at the end of the month. And there are benefits to using your credit card this way. One, you're buying things anyways with your cash or your credit, right? You're buying these essential items, and credit cards have reward systems. Mm-hmm. And these reward systems supercharge your money. So if you're going to spend $500 anyways, spend $500 on your credit card. That gives you maybe 5% back. And then at the end of the month, pay it off. Mm-hmm. And it protects your money in a lot of different ways, as far as, you know, fraud and, you know, all the other crazy stuff that could happen with credit cards over the internet and at a store. But your mm-hmm. intention always has to be, I'm going to pay this balance off with my cash. You never want to get ahead of yourself and start to overuse your credit and say, I'm not going to pay it off now. Because that's how you get into trouble.
Yeah.
And this is something I never learned. I never knew until I went really deep into debt. And I think it's a good habit to start off with, especially if you're starting off with credit to begin with, to establish that early.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure it isn't the easiest thing to talk about, going bankrupt, but I appreciate, and I'd hope that our listeners appreciate you being vulnerable and being honest and say, hey, I learned these things because I made mistakes, because that's ultimately what our goal is, to share the lessons that we've learned in life about how to build a more meaningful life. I know I go back to this periodically throughout our episodes, but it is important to have these conversations, to know the proper way of using credit cards like I said, for me, I didn't actually learn about the proper way until you and I got together, and it's been 2 years, almost 2 years. You mentioned something earlier that I wonder if you can just explain a little bit more about, I believe it was something along the lines of credit to debt ratio. I think it was something like that. Yes. Can you explain from your understanding what that means, what that looks like?
Okay. So your credit ratio is how much credit you're allotted. So just say hypothetically,
numbers is good to use.
So on your credit score, whatever, all the accounts that you have outstanding credit, like you have credit, right, allotted to you. Maybe you have maybe five banks giving you $10,000 each or whatever, right? So that's 50 grand, right? And about 30,000 of that you've actually used. Mm-hmm. So the ratio of how much you have that's free is 20,000, and what you have mm-hmm. owed is 30,000. So that's your ratio, that mm-hmm. percentage. Mm-hmm. I'm not a mathematician, but I would say you would have what, 10% left? Is that right? If 30,000, no, 20% left, right? If there's 50,000 and you use
30,000, you have 20,000 left.
20,000 left. What would, and whatever mm-hmm. that percentage is your ratio, your credit debt ratio. Credit is how much you have, and debt is how much you owe to the banks out of that. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep that number very low.
As low as possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now there's an income to debt ratio, which means, you know, how much you make per year versus how much you owe in debt. Mm-hmm. And I believe that number you want to keep in the under 10% range, I think, mm-hmm. or lower than that. You want to practice a healthy habit of doing it. It's like you may or may not hit it, but the better you are at practicing those things mm-hmm. at a very young age and you understand where your money should be going mm-hmm. versus where it ends up going, I think is very, very important. I think that we get our priorities really, really mixed up, like almost everybody I know does, and we get things that we don't need to help us feel good about ourselves, whether that's a lot of clothes. Nobody needs 25 pairs of shoes and 80 million outfits they're probably never going to wear, an expensive car they can't afford, and all the things that go along with it. It just becomes more things. And I think that a lot of people get caught up in this retail craze, and they're always in debt jail. They go, the end of the year happens. This is a fact that most people spend a lot. They freeze up at the end of the holidays because they're broke, and they end up paying all their debts back with tax money. Mm-hmm. And that's literally a cycle. That's not healthy.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't about that. My credit card debt accumulated from traveling, actually, because I would buy, you know, flights, and I would buy, I'm wondering what else. I would buy my flights or whatever in hotels. And if I needed to rent a car, that's where most of my spending went, with credit cards. And that's also not the ideal way. You know, essentially what I'm hearing from you, and this is what we've been talking about, is that you do want to keep the balance on your credit cards close, if not at zero. It's okay if you want to say, all right, let's say you spend $500 a month in your credit card, and the first month you pay off $300. You have to make sure that by the next month you pay off that remaining money, because if you don't, then with time that starts to accumulate, and the interest. Yes. I think that's another important thing to talk about when it comes to credit card, is the interest rate. When I got my first credit card, I remember being so excited because it said 0% APR for the first like 12 months or something like that. And I had no idea what that meant. I might still not have a full understanding of what that means. But what I do know is that credit card companies and banks, they're meant to entice you and seduce you with what seem like good deals. Because one credit card that I had, It was 0% APR for the first year, and then it skyrocketed to 24%. That is insane. You do not want to have a credit card with 24% interest rate. That is pretty damn high. Obviously, if you're first learning about credit cards and you're first opening up, essentially you might be more likely to get offered that because people know, like these banks know, these people are not knowledgeable, but this is things to look out for. You want to ask these questions, you want to understand, and there are things that the mistakes that I've made that I would want people to take away and know, okay, now I know maybe I should look up what APR actually means. I think it's like annual percentage rate or something like that. I think that's what it stands for. So I think that that's an important part of credit cards to talk about too.
Another thing to look at is not only
it's one more thing.
Of course. So they have the APR, right? The introductory APR, 0% for 9 months, 12 months. And then there's a variable rate. Usually there'll be a variable rate. So that 20% or that 10% or that 15% could vary depending on the conditions of, I guess, the current market. So it could reach as high as 28%, 29%. So you're not only worrying about interest rates, but interest rates that can vary up or down, which is, like I said, you don't want to be on that roller coaster where you're paying more for something than it's worth. And most of the things that people buy are things that they're appreciating heavily in value. Most of the time it's luxury goods like electronics, cars. Stuff like cars, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for something and it's not changing. The price doesn't, the price of the what you owe doesn't go down or up based on the value of the market. It stays the same, but its value as far as if you needed to sell it the next day is less, but you're still paying for it. And that's, and then you're paying interest on that, which is crazy. And they did, I mean, they did studies on it. There are companies that will say, hey, Dell used to do this. Dell computer company. You could own a laptop, a $1,500 laptop for $24.99 a month. And people are like, yeah, I'll do $24.99 a month. I could do that.
And then you end up paying like double.
4 years later, you're paying $24.99 a month on a computer that's 4 years old. It's not worth anything. Yeah. And you still owe a balance. That's not smart. So I've been caught up in all that stuff because I was cash poor, right? We were cash poor and you're thinking about the excitement of this new thing that you're getting, which becomes an old thing that you still got to pay for later on. And everybody does it for different reasons. We buy, you know, we go traveling or maybe we buy clothes or we buy cars. There's always something that we desire, and these banks know it. They have,
for sure,
just like they approve and they approve certain people and they don't approve certain people. They know how to mitigate risk and they know how to hook you in. They know how to make their money and they know how to stay out of trouble for the most part. So it's really up to you to wisen up and realize these are tools that can, you can benefit from if you understand how they work and you stay honest with yourself about it. And I think that's one of the hardest things because we have to change our desires. We have to set aside our desires and be logical. This does not make sense.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I actually just thought of something else. When it comes to credit cards, it is important to look at, this is something that I've learned in my own process, is what type of credit card best fits me, because they're like Chase, for example. Chase has, I think, like Freedom Unlimited, Sapphire, like business. There's all these different types of credit cards, and it is important, as exciting as it may be to feel like you're going to be approved for something great, phenomenal, as exciting as that might be, literally like Drew just said, it is important to be logical, because there are some credit cards, like for example, one of my credit cards is Amazon. You know, Amazon has become so popular. We shop on Amazon quite often. And I know that the benefits I'm getting from my Amazon card are more than, example, my Capital One card or my Chase card. You know, it is important to explore what credit cards give you benefits where. Credit cards for gas stations, credit cards for restaurants, for Macy's. There's literally Victoria's Secret, JCPenney. There's literally so much. And each card has its pros and its cons. So it's important for you, our listener, to reflect on, you know, what credit card might best serve me? What benefits, as opposed to only looking at the small frame of, yes, I'm going to get approved for a credit card. That's great. We congratulate you. But we also encourage you to be smarter than we were. That's why we're choosing to share these things, because we hope that from our mistakes, from the things that we've learned, you are able to take something away from our experiences.
I agree. If you're a traveler, find a card with miles on it, but make sure you can buy that ticket and pay it off in cash and then cash in on the miles. Or you could be the savior of dinner and have that one card that gives you 5% on all dining experiences. Everybody sends you the money, you pay, you get the benefits, you pay off the bill and rinse and repeat. And it is insane the amount of points that you could just siphon out of that card.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's a side of credit cards that I didn't experience till probably in the last three or four years.
Me too. So like I said, I've come to develop a healthier relationship with my credit cards since you and I've been together, because you taught me these things, which I'm really grateful for, which actually I think is a good segue to pose the question that I mentioned earlier, and a good way to start to stop blabbering in our listeners' ears. But there's three questions that I would encourage listeners to think about. The first question is, how good are you with your credit card? You know, what does that look like? Do you use your credit card for everything? Do you use your credit card for some things? What does that look like? The second question is kind of similar to the first, is what is your actual relationship with credit cards? Do you feel confident in your ability to understand APR and interest rate and when your due date is? Do you understand what it means to have, because it's a relationship, like with anything. We have relationships with everything in our lives, our partners, our friends, food, money, all of these things are all about relationships. And it is important for you to be honest with yourself and say, do I have a healthy relationship with credit cards? And the last question is, what are the people around you? What's their relationship like with credit cards? For Drew and I, our parents didn't have good relationships with credit cards. My mom didn't even have a relationship, hence the not knowing. I know for my friends, I don't think I've actually ever had conversations, or very, very small conversations, about their relationship with their credit cards. And unfortunately, as uncomfortable as it may be, you have to surround yourself with people who have better relationships with credit cards, because that's the only way that you're going to learn. If you're surrounded with people that have bad relationships with credit cards and money at that, then how are you going to learn? How are you going to improve? How are you going to be better? And I think Drew and I both recognize, because he's nodding his head, these are difficult questions to answer. And, you know, you might not like your responses. You might realize, like Drew and I realized at some point in our lives, that we were in an unhealthy relationship with credit cards and unhealthy relationship with finances. But you can't change what you can't track. It doesn't work that way. You need to have full understanding of what you're doing with credit cards and with money. And even though they're difficult questions, they can bring a lot of clarity. And clarity is a double-edged sword sometimes, because it's a hard realization, but it also provides you with the step of, oh, okay, now this is what I have. Now I can make some changes where needed. And I think those are really good questions, honestly. I don't know what Drew thinks, because I didn't share them with him ahead of time.
No, I think those are great ones. Always back to the basics with it. One thing I would like to add: when was the last time you pulled your credit report? It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. If you want to do free Credit Karma, Experian, see what's on your credit, because sometimes you have derogatory things on there, things that don't even belong on there. See physically what is going on with your credit and try to, it just gives you a bigger scope. You can know your credit cards and their balances, or you can know what loans you have, but seeing a whole list of things that you owe, or even getting a mint.com account and registering all your accounts with it, it'll give you your total overall net worth, how much you owe versus how much you have. It's just physically to see it. You said you can't track what you can't measure, correct? Is that
you can't change what you can't track or something along those lines is what I said.
If you don't have the metrics, if you don't have the information, you can't make the changes. And having that stare you directly in the face will make you think twice about doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, because we have to be accountable for ourselves, correct?
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
I love the 2 cents.
0% APR.
Is there a pun?
Because
we're talking about credit card and money. Anyway, we hope that as difficult as some of these questions might be, that we inspire you to think about finances and really credit cards in a different way. If you don't already, if you do, then go out and share it with people. If you have a good relationship with a credit card, go out and ask your friends, ask your loved ones, hey, you know, I feel good about my relationship with my credit card. Do you have a good relationship? It might be uncomfortable, but that's really is ultimately how we build a more meaningful life, which again is the whole premise of our show. So we hope that despite the discomfort, that you're getting something out of it. And if you ever have any questions, Drew and I can always answer to the best of our abilities, of course. We love to hear from you. And yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything else. But if not, then we hope you have a wonderful day, night, evening, morning, depending on where you are in the world. And we look forward to sharing more insightful information with you.